How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend, our confidant, Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
What's going on, gents? Sitting here in picturesque Cleveland, looking out my hotel room, listening to Joe Rex Road say, I don't want to start stuff, but
with all due respect,
with all due respect, Joe doesn't want to speculate, but then he speculates. It's my favorite. Joe,
when's the last time you were home?
I do.
Do you remember what home is?
It was August 23rd was the last time I was home. This is team 18, and I'm definitely getting the. So, when are you going to come home? When does this end exactly? When does the money run out? So, yeah, I'm reassessing my future plans after this stuff. So, we'll see.
So, Charles, let's start on the Brandon Ayuk front. We talked a little bit about it last week, but still no absolute resolution there. What's the latest on that front, and how do you see this thing ultimately playing out?
Well, so... interestingly, I am kind of in the wheelhouse of the Ayuk. I went through Niners camp early, and I actually just went through Steelers camp recently. And then, you know, obviously I'm here in Cleveland, and I can tell you this, the reports of what was offered by Cleveland are 100% accurate. You know, Amari Cooper, a second round pick. And then it was, I think it was reported it was a fifth. It was actually a swap of a fourth and a sixth that would have come out to fifth round value for the 49ers. So, you know, that was engineered by the Browns. I think the money was where Ayuk would have wanted it. He just didn't want to be there. And so ultimately that's why that never got off the ground. The reports of the Pittsburgh deal that's, you know, on the table, squared, done, is that's correct. The deal that's on the table from the Steelers does not include a wide receiver, it's draft picks, but it is a package that the 49ers would accept. But what's going on right now is the Niners are, I believe, they're running a parallel track right now with Brandon Ayuk. And we talked about this last week where I told you I think they're, you know, ultimately what they wanted to do was let him get out there, sort of see what was out there, and then try to get a deal done. I still think that is a priority for them. However, what you do is you have to set up a plan B for yourself. And I think for the 49ers, it's okay, look, if we can't get this contract done, we need to figure out if we do the deal with the Steelers, we need a wide receiver. We cannot exit this without a wide receiver. So effectively what they would want to do is take those picks and shop them around the NFL and see, okay, what veteran wide receiver out here is available for us if we use these Steelers picks, and is there a guy that, you know, fits the Ayuk role or fits what we need from this, you know, receiver slot that's now going to be opened up, who then we can engineer a trade for. So people are like, why, what's this dead period, and why is this, you know, all of a sudden just gone quiet? And it really has, even for all the teams involved. It's like the Niners right now are holding everything, and, you know, they're just not communicating with anyone. And I think in terms of like who's involved with the trade, and I think that's because they're trying to figure out, is there a deal for us to get done? How close are we? And if not, can we go get another wide receiver with the compensation we get back from the Steelers? So that's where they're at right now. I'll let people speculate on. It's funny, you call around and you try to figure out across the league, like, okay, what veterans are available not named Davante Adams? Like, who else? Like, who's the obvious not available receiver? And, I've come up with a few, but then you reach out to the teams and you just hear, we're not trading him. We're not trading this guy. This guy's not getting traded. So not sure what other veterans are necessarily out there available right now, but I think that's what's going on right now. The Niners are basically giving themselves outs if they can't get the deal done with Ayuk.
Okay, so you've seen most of these rookies now. I know everyone's gaga about Caleb Williams and his preseason debut, but you've seen most of these rookies. So I guess, first of all, Charles, the big impressions that hit you, but also Minnesota loses their rookie, J.J. McCarthy. That's a tough one for them. So they got Sam Darnold. Should Minnesota go after Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, they need a backup. That there's no doubt they're signing a backup. I mean, Darnold.
But he's better than Darnold. He'd be their starter.
Nah, he doesn't know the offense, Joe. Like, he doesn't that offense. You got to have somebody. Like, they're not playing around. They want to compete this year.
Smart.
And
he's very intelligent.
It took Kirk 2 years to really master that offense. With O'Connell, and unfortunately in the midst of his second year, he suffers in terms of with Kevin, suffers the Achilles injury. But they can't. They're not going to get anybody to be their starter. Like, Darnold is their starter.
So they're going to suck. And okay, that's fine.
We'll see. I mean, we'll see. They don't think so. Going through there and talking to them, and that was when JJ was healthy. Their intent at that time, and they were very open about it with me, was, We hope, that we have an opportunity to sit JJ as long as possible and develop him, and we hope that Darnold has, kind of a Geno Smith run in him, that he's been through some bad scenarios. And it was funny, because when you listen to him sort of lay out what Darnold had been through, who he had been with, they were like, tell me the good situation. Like, explain to me the good coaching situation, the good team situation. What was that? And I had a hard time. And they're like, okay, well, we feel like he got better when he got with Kyle Shanahan. So, and he got into this offense. I think there's belief in him, not long-term, but in terms of what's happening this season. This isn't ideal. They wanted, obviously, to get to McCarthy, I think, at some point this year. But it's not devastating from the standpoint of they were looking at seriously starting McCarthy, when the season. I think the biggest devastation for them is that McCarthy went out there in a preseason game, threw a pick, looked bad, and then quickly improved over the course of the game. And from a confidence standpoint, from a read standpoint, pretty much everything he did in that preseason game, as he went along, he got a lot better. And that's exactly what they want to see. And now they're going to lose all those snaps. So that's tough. I mean, in terms of the other rookies, the only guy I haven't seen is Caleb. I watched his preseason game, but live I've seen everybody else. I think maybe the one – I think we talked about, the Broncos and Knicks and what a great fit that is for Sean. And I think that's why Peyton is so relaxed this preseason, is because he knows he's got his guy. The one that I thought was kind of funny was just seeing Jaden Daniels. I was in camp with them, and then I was in New Jersey for the game against the Jets. And he checked out of – he had a screen that they had called. And Jaden sees he's a packed box, and he says, no, I'm going to go ahead and change this play. He was not authorized to change the play because they were starting like a third string guard at tackle. And they were like, look, we're not calling anything that's going to put him in any jeopardy of getting hit. He had just come out of joint practices with the Jets. They were very impressed by him. I didn't even have to bring up his name. The Jets were like, hey, number five with Washington is really good. So he checks out his play, throws a goal ball deep to Diami Brown, perfect ball, beautiful completion. It was like 42-yard completion. So I go through camp afterward, and I'm talking like everybody in the organization. And it's basically like, yeah, we talked to him about that. We were like, it's great that worked. Don't ever do that again. Like, you can never, ever do that in that scenario. We're calling that play for a reason. And he knew during the game, he knew he wasn't supposed to do it. He did it anyway. And then he turned to the sideline. I don't know if there was really ever a good shot of it, but he turned to the sideline after the completion, grinning like, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this because I just did something I wasn't supposed to do. I was entertained by it. I think it is something that showcases his competitive nature, but it also showcases how worried I think the Commanders are about making sure they keep him safe behind that offensive line. So all the rookies, I'll say this about that class, that first-round class. So far, they've all shown, like, positives. Like, you're like, oh, you see flashes. You know, Drake May is the one where you're a little nervous, but I still think he hasn't gotten enough time to really showcase some of the concern that I think is coming out of there. But there's been upside, and that was a super long answer. One quick conversation I had with a GM where I said, this doesn't look like, at least in the early going, it's more positive than the 2021 class that had all those, you know, busts. And his GM was just like, I'm telling you, he's like, I swear that class was ruined by COVID. He was like, we had such a hard time getting to know the players that were getting selected. And he was like, and it wasn't just quarterbacks. He was like, it was across the board. You had a really hard time getting to know the mentality and the mindset and a lot of the intangibles with players because of COVID. And he was like, that's why I think so many people made such massive mistakes in that draft.
Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So Charles, the Hassan Reddick situation seems very on brand for the New York Jets. Yeah. It feels like if anybody can find a way to screw something up, they do. So they make the trade a few months ago for Hassan Reddick, and now they can't even get him to come inside the building, and they're at a standoff. They've said they're not going to trade him, but he has requested the trade officially. How do you view this situation, and how do you see this one playing out with Hassan Reddick and the Jets?
Well, first off, just from talking to multiple people involved, this, remember, there's really three teams involved because there's two teams involved because the Eagles are sitting there going, well, this is a 2026 pick that we could have graduate into a second rounder from a third rounder. So they have a vested interest too in this getting worked out. They need Hassan Reddick on the field for the Jets to meet performance qualifiers that would push that pick up. But I think number one, it showcases why this ended up being a 2026 pick in the first place. That's way down the road. I think the Jets made the trade knowing we don't have the contract in place that he wants yet. We're going to work on it once we get this deal done, but let's make sure we mitigate the risk by pushing the pick way down the road. I think what I was told, like really just from talking to everybody involved in this thing, what ended up happening was they deal for him. He comes in, he does the press conference, says, you know, positive things. Seems to be like, you know, seems like, okay, they're in the right direction here. Takes his physical, everything's good. When he left the building, that was it. He never came back. He didn't come back for anything in the off-season program, literally nothing. And I think all of a sudden the Jets are sitting there going, wait a minute, like, that's not how this was going to go. Like, that's not how this was supposed to go. Like, we had confidence that we were going to do this deal. He was going to be in for the off-season stuff, and we were going to negotiate, you know, over the course of the off-season, and then if necessary into training camp to get this deal ultimately on the rails. And then I think once he wasn't showing up, the Jets are like, wait a minute, we can't do, like, we didn't trade for a guy to have him hold out. We traded to be able to do a good faith negotiation with him in the building. Now he's not in the building, and you know, we're sitting here and it's become a standoff, you know, that they did not expect. And I think part of the complication for the Jets too is now that once it was clear he was holding out by not showing up to anything, which the guys immediately knew it, the other players immediately knew, like, hey, he's not here for anything. Why? He's not here for the OTA. He's not here for anything we're doing. Is this already a holdout? Is this a trade for a holdout? And you know, the Jets were in the position where they were like, they know there are other guys on the roster who would love to have their deals redone. And they are in the classic position. This is across the NFL. This happens every single year. It's, okay, now what do we do? Because if we give this guy an extension, when he clearly held out, you know, and said, you know, I'm not taking part in anything, what are we going to do inside our own locker room with other individuals who now want deals but did show up? And who we have not done deals with yet, or future deals, whether it's Sauce Gardner or Breece Hall or whoever else, all these other extensions we got to do, what message are we sending that, hey, all you got to do is hold out and then you get what you want? So, yeah, I mean, it's a bit of an ugly standoff. And I think I'm just telling you from talking to everybody, it feels like it's going to go all the way to the regular season. And then he's going to have to make a decision. It's going to be what I kind of termed a Chris Jones decision, where it's, do I miss a game check? And then we wait and see what the pass rush looks like. And is that where I regain leverage? Because right now he just doesn't have leverage. He's going to continue to be fined $50,000 a day. It's going to be, you know, north of $2 million by the time the season starts. And then we're talking game checks. You know, at some point he's got to make a decision here, and he can't sit out the year because his contract tolls. It's the same deal then in 2025. So not great. It's, you know, a bad spot, I think, especially for the Jets. This is, you know, for this to start the way that it did, but people inside the organization do feel like if they can get him in and, you know, work on something with him in the building, that there is a path back from this, but it's certainly not the way they wanted to start it.
On the Titans front, Charles, we've talked a lot about J.C. Latham. I think right now he's looking pretty good out there. But you came across some information from another team about him.
I love how you're tiptoeing up to this.
I want to make sure you can, you know, say what you can say.
This is a lesson, and you can't tell Joe anything about what you hear about.
Hey, I could have just blurted it out, you know?
Yeah, I know you could have, but, you know, it's supposed to, there's no, like, friends conversations anymore. Joe's constantly like, is this radio content?
He's fully in the dark side now.
You're like, Dawn's yelling at me about cutting the grass. We'll put on the show.
Yeah, exactly. We've talked about this before. When you go through, you know, these camps, you end up talking about a multitude of different things. And, you know, you revisit the draft and you talk about a lot of different stuff. And you often get kind of asked, like, where have you been? Who have you seen? Who have you been impressed with? I went through Titans camp. We talked about this. I was really impressed with Latham when I went through Titans camp. And as I was going through, you know, I was in Eagles camp, and I mentioned to somebody there, you know, hey, went through Titans, like Latham looks really, really good, really polished. Like, he looks like everything, you know, that the people that were high on him thought he would be. And the Eagles, I can say this with confidence because I know it. I mean, this was the top tackle. And in their assessments, when they looked at the tackle class, he was the number one tackle in the class. And, you know, I think that he projected out as having Pro Bowl potential for them, which, you know, it's a big deal. And I think, to me in particular, if you're a Titans fan, you have to be excited because the two best offensive line coaches in the NFL are the one you have in Bill Callahan and Jeff Stoutland in Philadelphia. He's bar none the best offensive overall developer of offensive linemen in terms of, like, taking guys with raw skills and turning them into great players. They're not perfect. You know, Andre Dillard's still on the Eagles record, and you know, they are at the tippy top of the league when it comes to coaching up offensive linemen and knowing the talent when they see it. And so I'd be pretty psyched if I was a Titans fan, knowing that, hey, if there's one other team where I care about their opinion of the guy we took with our first round pick, it being a tackle, it would be the Eagles. So I thought that was very notable. I mentioned it to Joe, and Joe immediately was like, we got to get that on the show.
And then you just said everything. I thought you had to be, like, careful. Like, well, you know, it was an NFC East team.
Of course, you always are like, you have to tippy toe around this guy. But you know, if my guy at the Eagles is upset, I'm going to be like, what? You're upset that I said a good player? You thought he was a good player?
You got to get this run on Philly Sports Radio. Yeah. See if there's some fallout there.
Yeah, exactly. No, the thing is too, they're fine on the offensive line. So if it was, you know, a quarterback or any other number of things, maybe that would be a problem, but I don't think this is exactly it shouldn't rock anybody in Philadelphia.
The funny thing is, like, you're right. Like, obviously the Eagles have been really good with that, but, like, Titans fans also are like, my God, they thought Andre Dillard was good. Are we sure that they know what they're doing?
You know,
they do.
Here's the thing about Dillard, though. People want to be, like, have revisionist history on that guy. A lot of teams loved him. Like, he didn't work out, but especially as a past tactician and what he brought to the table, you know, from a tool standpoint in the passing game, there was, like, an overwhelming number of NFL teams were in love with him. But I also think there was a time, too, with Andre Dillard where people – we were entering into a phase. I would say Dillard was probably – you know, we were into it at that point, but he was a very good example of it, where NFL teams were becoming acquainted with, hey, these guys don't know how to play offensive – you know, offensive tackle in every single phase. And we have to – you know, teams started to realize we have to be far more careful about this idea of taking – you know, toolsy pass, you know, pass blocking offensive linemen, because they may not have what it takes to be, you know, a run blocking lineman, or they may not have these other sort of mentality traits to round out and be complete offensive linemen, or they just don't have the reps that look like normal offensive reps in the NFL. And I think, you know, Dillard was one of those guys where, you know, there were just a few missing pieces, and then it was obvious pretty quickly that, oh, there's some missing stuff here that's not going to be easy to ultimately develop. But, you know, yeah, we look back because Dillard, you know, ended up being a bust. But again, I remember that draft, and teams loved him up and down, you know, that first round. So he's I don't want to let anybody off the hook on that one. That was definitely one where plenty of teams would have missed on him.
Hey, Andre Dillard's still churning it out up there in Green Bay, baby. Gonna be a
breakout year for him. You know, he's still in the league, right? He's still in the, and that's the funny thing too, is it shows you at least athletically what he brought to the table, that he continues to get chances over and over, and you know, it just hasn't worked, and yet that shows you that, I don't want to say desperation, but teams need offensive linemen, and anyone who's got any skill set they bring to the table that is even modestly attractive and makes them, you know, at worst a depth tackle, they'll last a long time. I'll bet you that guy will be in the league. I mean, he may run the typical upside first round career length. I mean, he could be in the league a dozen years by the time it's over. And then at that point,
You tip the cap.
Well, yeah. Let's be real here. Like, I've had this argument with people before about, like, what is a quote-unquote failed draft pick? Sure, he didn't live up to his first-round expectations, but I'm going to tell you right now, any player who lasts in the league 10 years or 12 years, that's not a busted – I mean, maybe they didn't live up to the ceiling that people had on them, but if you last that long in the NFL, you were a pretty good pick, because players don't last that long. It just doesn't happen. You have to have some element of talent or addition that you brought to the table, and – I defy anybody to tell me that a 10-year NFL player was a bad pick. Maybe they didn't reach upside, but they were not a bad choice in terms of knowing that they were an NFL talent.
Okay, we can scream about this later.
Matthew. Okay, I didn't realize that was going to be a fighting point. But I once had a
If you're
long
bad for 10 years, you were not a good pick, Charles.
You know what? If you can last in the NFL 10 years, I guarantee your bank account tells you aren't a bad
that's true. That is true.
That's fair.
Matthew Judon traded from the Patriots to the Falcons. Is Atlanta the clear favorite in your mind in the NFC South?
Yeah, and I like them even before this pick, but I really love this move because, you know, it was low cost, and it's, you know, Judon is at an age where you're like, what's really the window? It's, you know, the high side of the window is probably a couple of years where they feel like he can still give you high level production. I think, you know, he's a really good mentality player. Like, he brings a lot to your practice. You know, I think he's good in a locker room in terms of, especially, you know, if he's happy with the money and, you know, where his contract is, like, he's never heard of him being a bad teammate. But to me, for the Falcons, it signals, you know, after the Penix pick, everyone's confused because they're like, you're in the window now. Like, why aren't you doing these things now? Why didn't you go get a defensive player? Well, guess what they just did? They went and got a defensive player who, by the way, I'm going to tell you, at least out of the box in 2024, is going to be as good as any defensive player they would have drafted at that choice where they ultimately took Penix. So they kind of double dipped on this one. And, you know, I'm not going to say that was the grand plan, but they seized on it when they saw the opportunity to go and get the pass rusher they needed. And they spent, you know, what was it, a third-round pick? Am I right there?
Yep.
Third-round pick for him?
Yep.
You know, much cheaper. Now, granted, it's a shorter window, but, you know, I like it. a lot for them. And I already thought, especially after being in their camp and seeing their offense, at least offensively, you know, that was the team I really loved in the NFC South. I think this is a really big addition for them. They needed this piece. They did not get it in the draft, and ultimately they resolved it anyway. So, you know, a feather in their cap, and it's setting up nicely for them the way they've kind of planned out the next, you know, couple of years around Kirk Cousins.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Charles, thanks as always, my friend. We'll talk to you next week, and enjoy the training camp tour that continues on, my friend.
Get home at some point.
At some point I got to go home. So I don't know. I'll figure it out from here. You guys, is there anything I can do for you here in Cleveland?
Yeah, get Jameis Winston's autograph for Robbie. He wants Jameis Winston's autograph.
Get Jameis Winston's autograph. Get him mic'd up at all times and say hello to our dear friend Mike Vrabel.
He really is. Like, Jameis is really the weirdest. Like, it's just – it's so hard to explain – this guy, he will be the quintessential. We talk about like whether or not someone's a busted draft pick. If he wants to be in the NFL 15 years, he will be in the NFL 15 years. People will keep signing him because he's, especially at the backup quarterback position, he has more talent at his fingertips than most other backup quarterbacks. But he is, I have never seen him go into an organization and the organization not be like, everybody loves this guy. Like,
there you go.
Every staffer, every player, it does not matter who it is. It's one of the most like interesting things given how his NFL career started.
He's a leader, baby.
Hey, no, he's amazing. Also, if Vrabel asks what I'm doing with my hands, tell him I'm throwing up double middles from Nashville. Just kidding.
I will bring up the fact that I'm getting roasted for my take that he was worth a couple first round picks.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, Mike, you think you could fetch a six?
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest. Lots that Charles had to say there. We'll react to that coming up next. A lot of Andre Dillard talked here too, which I always enjoy.
What a fine day. We've had Andre Dillard and Vic Beasley today on the program.
Yes, we have.
You just never know.
Yes, we have. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Should Minnesota go after Ryan Tannehill?
I mean, they need a backup. You know that there's no doubt they're signing a backup. I mean, Darnold.
But he's better than Darnold. He'd be their starter.
Nah, he doesn't know the offense, Joe. Like he doesn't that offense. You got to have somebody. Like they're not playing around. They want to compete this year.
Smart.
And
he's very intelligent.
It took Kirk 2 years to really master that offense. You know, with O'Connell, and unfortunately in the midst of his second year, he suffers in terms of with Kevin, suffers the Achilles injury. But yeah, no, they can't. They're not going to get anybody to be their starter. Like, Darnold is their starter.
So they're going to suck. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
That was Joe Rexrode on with Charles Robinson last segment.
Thank you for playing
and
that.
And myself.
Yes.
I was also part of the show.
You were part of that. You are on the program.
I am on the program.
Thank you for playing that because someone – texted me, they're like, oh, it's just like you always make fun of Stilly, you know, because I always say Jared's always like,
he sucks. Yeah, he sucks. He can't. I want an ice cream. I want a hamburger. He sucks. Right.
I did not say a person will suck. I said the Vikings will suck. There's a difference, Kevin.
I just got an all caps text from Stilly as you were saying that. The revival of Sammy D, baby. Here it comes. We're going to see it all year long.
Yeah. Big Sammy D, guys. And I hear what, and now I'm also getting crap from Gamma Greg about Tannehill. Again.
I did enjoy the immediate laughter that Charles had.
Yeah, I know.
What about Tannehill?
Darn you, Charles. Well, Gamma Greg, this is what Gamma Greg said. He thinks it's funny Joe has about Tannehill. I think it is too. Only delusional Titans fans really believe Tannehill was good. He was a passenger, nothing more. It's just, I'm sorry that you don't like football, but still talk about it. Sorry for your trouble. Like, if you watched Ryan Tannehill's entire career here, and that's your takeaway, like, I'm sorry that you dislike the game of football so much.
Is there a bigger Kirk Cousins, Ryan Tannehill fan than Joe Rexrode?
No, but that's the thing. You know I'm not a huge fan of Tannehill.
Is there a bigger combo of the two?
Hey, man.
I don't think so.
I'll send you the link to my column after the Cincinnati game. He completely blew it, and that changed everything. But to suggest that he was just a passenger here was never good is insane. Insane. Insane levels of not watching the football or knowing what you're looking at. Like, the guy had, like, his efficiency. Yeah, Derrick Henry's the best player on the team. His numbers in 19 and 20 were absolutely elite level in the NFL, whether you like it or not.
Well, and even though Tannehill's career did not go to plan in Miami, he was in the league for more than 10 years, so it worked out really well.
Nice, yeah.
Charles, I mean, first off, Ryan Tannehill's bank account would definitely suggest that it's been a very nice NFL career for him.
Sure.
And he was 12-year guy. So,
and not necessarily done. Not necessarily done.
Not necessarily done.
Now, I hear what Charles is saying. Look, okay, let's put it to you. Totally get it, and we've talked about that before with O'Connell and because of that, but right now you have a team with, you know, whatever. You have a team. You have an offense. You need a quarterback. You can have, for this year, you can have Sam Darnold or you can have Ryan Tannehill.
For this year, I'm going Tannehill. Because, I mean, the argument is always going to be, well, Darnold's younger. Well, that's great if you're talking about, like, five-year plan. But for this year, I'm going
also,
Tannehill.
Darnold's still not their long-term plan. J.J. McCarthy
exactly.
is.
So, yeah, I would go Tannehill over Darnold.
Okay.
I know some people who wouldn't, but I would go Tannehill over Darnold. Now, again, I what Charles said there, I don't know. Like, how complicated is the Kevin O'Connell offense to really learn? I have no idea. You know, apparently it did take Kirk Cousins a while to really get it down. So,
I mean, he
I
was
have no
pretty,
idea.
Although he was pretty good in it the first year.
He was.
Wasn't he? It didn't look like he. See, this is like where.
12-5 or whatever, didn't
they? Right, yeah. Why do we have to do this over and over again? This is my fault. So, congratulations to Gamma Greg, who says he was a nobody before he got here and nobody's touched him too. He had Henry and AJ, those two stayed him. Okay, again. Miami Dolphins, let's see. 2013, 3,900 receiving yard, or passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 81.7 rating. 2014, 4,045 passing yards. We talk about, oh my God, is it possible Will Levis can throw for 4,000?
Yeah.
27 touchdowns, 12 picks, a rating of 92.8. 2015, 4,208 passing yards, 24 touchdowns, 12 picks, and 88.7 rating. 2016, he had 3,000 passing yards, and then he blew his knee for a team that still made the playoff and was 8-5 with him as quarterback, and then the injury started to end his career in Miami. Like, again, do we want to deal in facts or not? All right, I'm done. I mean, facts or we can just say stuff.
We need to get you a Tannehill t-shirt.
I'm not.
We need to get me a Jameis Winston t-shirt.
But you are a true fan of Jameis Winston. I'm not a fan of Tannehill, but I like this idea that there's just was never any good football from him. It's just incredible, man. It's just incredible.
Gamma Greg responds back, says win-loss record, Joe. I mean, he actually won a lot of games.
Yeah, thank you. Good. So now you're reserved. So basically, you have no argument, and you just keep changing the discussion. Cool. Yeah, he said you aren't mentioning any of the records. Okay. Do you know how bad the Dolphins were? That's why they drafted him at the top of the draft.
When's the last time? This is a legitimate question because I don't know the answer. When is the last time the Miami Dolphins won a playoff game?
That's a very good question. That's quite an organization.
Yeah.
Compared to what they used to be. I mean, was it Marino?
I don't know. Like, I legitimately have no idea the last time they won a playoff game.
That's
apparently, okay, I've just discovered the answer. They have not won a playoff game since 2000. The year 2000, they beat the Colts in the wild card game in December of 2000.
Who was QB?
Oh, good Lord. I cannot currently find that information, but I will try to find it.
Okay. 2000, the year 2000.
The year 2000.
The year 2000. That's special. I think about a franchise that has that, you know, a storied franchise and how hard they've fallen. It was, oh my God, it was Fiedler. Fiedler was their quarterback. Boy, Peyton, that's a tough one, Peyton. You lost to Fiedler in the playoffs. The year 2000. Amazing.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll have more of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. Continued reaction to what Charles Robinson's had to say this hour. By the way, if you missed the Charles Robinson interview, you can find it, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, or at thegamenashville.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Indy racing fans, the Big Machine Indy Show Car will be on display this Friday at Soar Adventure Tower in Franklin. Come check out tomorrow from 6 to 8 p.m. While you're there, register to win tickets to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix as well. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Rex Road has successfully been fired up on the text line with all the Tannehill stuff. By the way, speaking of the text line, a lot of texts we got yesterday of you missing the show the day after Creed performing
at St. Amphitheater. How convenient.
A lot of people theorizing that maybe you were there in some sort of mask or disguise and just did not want to admit it. And that was the reason for your absence yesterday.
I don't know. I mean, if you know, I can neither confirm nor deny. Yeah, you know, I thought that the suit was going to come in here and tell us all about Creed, all about how amazing the show was. But
Rocks
not.
Road.
I did see some videos from the show, and God, I'm glad I didn't go to that crap. I would have gone.
You know, I had the opposite reaction. I saw some videos for the show and said, "Man, what a missed opportunity in my life that I didn't end up there."
I mean, a certain financial level of compensation plus a certain level of beer consumption. Yeah.
You'd go.
Yeah, but we'll have to catch them next time. Seemed like they were really rocking it out, though.
Here we go.
Thank you, Nick. But I don't know. I guess we'll get them next time. The people actually.
Well, luckily they're coming to Bridgestone not that far from now, so we can go back then.
When is that?
I don't know. God. Sometime soon.
They're like freaking ear herpes. Can't get rid of them.
Be a tough draw on that one.
Okay. Anyway.
Yeah. Got a texter that says the Vikings are going to suck, but Vegas has them favored over the Titans in the head-to-head matchup in Tennessee. Nice call, Joe. Way to go, Joe.
Is that Viking Matt?
I don't know.
No.
Unnamed texter.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sitting here saying the Titans are going to be awesome either. Gamma Greg has reached completely ridiculous levels of trolling. So he's like, oh, no, your QB stat. Let's not even say the Dolphins record. Then I'm like, okay, so when the Titans had a winning record, then it's not a QB stat. Then he's a passenger when the Titans win here. But it's a QB stat if it's bad.
Yeah.
Like, you are just trolling. And it's working. All right, congratulations. Because I'm just sitting here. I'm an easy mark. So I'm just going to sit here and scream about it. But, I mean, it's just ridiculous trolling.
Day number two for the Titans on the field today with the Seattle Seahawks. What will be on the notepad this time tomorrow? What are we keeping an eye on today in day number two of padded practice against the Seattle Seahawks?
Well, I think I'm gonna stick with – I might have to do the part of the field where I can see both because I do want to watch some of the defense, and I did all offense yesterday. But I also want to carefully track Levis, and that's a writing thing for me, you know, but – I mean, the 2 days, I think, are interesting in terms of, like, what he does. So, I'm mostly watching Levis, the Levis-Ridley thing. And I am, like, I hope I'm wrong on what I thought I saw with Burks, you know. And it's just a cramp, and he's back out there. That'd be good for him because he really was – he was making plays. He was involved, and he was taking advantage of those reps, you know, with those two of the three starters out yesterday. And – So it'd be good to see him out there making more plays today. Can Levis and Ridley hook up and make a big play or two? Because, you know, obviously there's an emphasis on that, and there's been a lot of discussion of that. I think they're getting a little bit even maybe fatigued on the discussion of it. But it's important. It's really important because Calvin Ridley is not just a deep threat, take the top off the defense guy. He's a fast, quick, explosive, sudden playmaker who should make plays. The Mike DiRocco interview yesterday that you guys did, I thought was really interesting. And he kind of talked about there was some stuff he didn't, you know, he didn't pick up everything and all that. And I just, I don't know if that's part of this or not, but they need that to not be a thing, right? They need to have the full Calvin Ridley, and I think it could be really good.
No, I think it could too. And then, you know, defensively, are there any loud plays from Tavondre Sweat today? Does he make an impact in the scrimmages and the team drills that we see out there? And, you know, on the secondary front too, Diggs and Adams both back out there yesterday against their former team. So, you know, do you start to see Diggs specifically settle in and make some plays for the Titans? That'd be good to see. You know, obviously things are still new for him here, and we haven't seen a lot of him on the field at this point, but it'd be nice to see him really settle in and start to make some plays back there for the Titans on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, that's certainly an important thing. You know, how is that? Is it just a matter of time, and it's just like, boom, there you go. It's going to be Hooker, and it's going to be Diggs, and then Molden is depth slash another chess piece. Like I've said, I think Molden can do the things that they want Adams to do. So in a way, Molden could be sort of like, I guess, a backup in both spots. But I'm not dismissing Molden as being in a competition there. Quandre Diggs has been in the league a long time. You know, so yes. I don't. But that's going to be interesting. Is it a clear gap all of a sudden when he starts getting into the defense and it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, he's been a very good player in this league for a long time. Or is Molden actually ready to make a move and establish himself as a starter in the NFL? I'm not just dismissive of Molden right now.
Is today officially the last practice we really care about until roster cutdown day?
It's a damn well the last one I care about. I mean, I know these other guys go out there and have fun, and that's fine. I mean, do whatever you want to do, man. Okay?
I forget it every year, and then we get into the midst of it. Training camp is long, man. Long.
And again, we had the Olympics this year.
I know.
We had the Olympics until like 5 days ago, 4 days ago, whatever. So
I keep waiting on college football, and I look at my phone. I'm like, August 15th, okay. They got some games August 24th, but not really all that many good ones. August 31st, Tennessee plays, and it's kind of like the official beginning of college football. My God, that's still 2 weeks away.
Yeah, and then you still have – yeah, I know. But at least college football is about to save us here. And, yeah, this is – I mean, to me, this is – there's this, and then there's the game. And then, you know, there's another week with another game. And I do think that last preseason game at New Orleans, we're going to see more starters play. But, yes, it's the final dance, the last practice. Enjoy, everybody.
Creed apparently coming up on November the 8th here in Nashville. So another opportunity very quickly here coming up for us to get there.
So close to Thanksgiving, and we can give our thanks for Creed.
I mean, Thanksgiving and Creed has a long history together. That was when the halftime show happened with the Cowboys, Thanksgiving Day, where they're flying through the air. One of the great videos in American history.
Probably killed the turducken if it wasn't dead already.
Jason Big Joe coming up next. Hope everybody has a great day. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.